Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast, our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast, episode number 70 for May the 29th of 1993. Doc, we are in Kaywood High School, I believe I'm saying that right, in Harlan, Kentucky. We actually saw a match here last week. However, it is a new venue. It was a new venue last week, but we didn't really get into the demographics because it was at the end of the episode with Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey and whatnot. So you missed Stan Lane going home for good at the end of last week because you had to go educate the youth. But it's a new venue. We're in Harlan, Kentucky for a TV taping. Doc, first off, how you doing this week, man?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to miss Stan Lane. I forgot how different it is with Jimmy Del Rey. I'd like to, I had to go do some important work in the community, but after you played me back the tape, maybe I should never leave the show again. Hold on a second, though. I got to get prepared correctly.
Okay, here comes the fucking Pop-Tart. And
No. These aren't Pop-Tarts, pal. This is even better. Hold on. Let me get a big, wonderful bite here.
Okay. I want to get the show going. What is this?
I'm eating some Icelandic yogurt. Get
the fuck out of here, Icelandic.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to get a head start on New Year, New Me.
Broad logic bullshit. Okay. If everyone is wondering, Harper is not going to be here this week. At least we don't think so. He may be able to join us at the end of it, depending on where he's at. I got a text from him early this morning, and there was a certain female he had an arrangement with this morning, and I can't blame him. He's a single man.
This probably comes out at Christmas time, so maybe we ought to sing a little Christmas ditty to let me sing a little Christmas song to see if I can describe this girl for you. Three lonely teeth, two big tits, and a single lonely brain.
No, I'm not going to. Well, I don't know. I haven't seen her, but the way he explained it, she was nice and good looking, and he wasn't passing up the opportunity to, you know, bang one out early on a Friday morning as we record this on December the 1st of 2017. Let me look it up. I'm looking up right now when this thing is going to air. But, Doc,
I don't know how that works. Is it Kwanzaa yet for you people?
You're an asshole. You're an asshole. Can we get to the demographics and then I'll let the people know exactly when this puppy is going to air?
Yeah, so are these people so poor that they can't put a Y in there to make it Kaywood and spell it correctly? Okay. Or is it they just don't? They have the money for the Y, but they don't know how to spell.
Somebody will email or tweet, "You're being fucking, stop being a bunch of fucking idiots and making fun of our politics." Nobody's making fun of politics. We're just talking about why there's not a Y there. But anyway, keep going, Doc.
Yeah, I'm a coastal elite that lives on a prairie. That's what it is.
For the record, you're right. This will air this is going to air. It's going to drop on Christmas Eve. So
Merry
December
Christmas.
24th.
Well, Merry Christmas, you pieces of shit. I hope all of you get a piece of coal in there.
If you're listening to this on Christmas Eve or right after Christmas, Merry motherfucking Christmas to you and yours, BTT style.
You gotta think there's a better than zero chance that while you're listening to this, Mild Mike Mills is about three quarters of the way through a bottle of Pennsylvania Dutch eggnog and thinking about rolling up on his wife and calling her Sasha while he delivers the goods.
She got hot yesterday because I tweeted her a picture of the Sasha Banks ugly sweater that WWE shop is selling. And I said that she told me she needed a sweater for Christmas. So I told her, I sent her a tweet saying, "Look what I got you, a nice sweater." And it's a Sasha Banks ugly sweater. But anyway, let's go through the demographics.
Why does she need a sweater? We live in a place where it doesn't get below 40 now that climate change is real.
Jesus Christ, bro. It's been hot this winter. Fuck.
Oh, shit, man. I've been wearing shorts and just rolling around and drinking beer outside. So anyway, we are in.
Well, this isn't real quick. This is no joke, Doc. You should say that this is December 1st, but literally this weekend, as we approach it, we have high temperatures are going to be in the 70s. Now it's going to drop. It's going to drop next week, and we're going to have highs in the like 50s and lows in the 30s. But still, right now in December, we got highs in the 70s. Keep going,
yeah,
Doc.
Buddy, I like it. I like the new climate change. I'm ready.
Okay.
I don't like cold weather.
He's leaning into his conservative side now. Go ahead.
Whatever. So we're in Harlan, Kentucky. Woo! This is deep hillbilly right here. We are in southeastern Kentucky. Oh man, I wonder if these people really know who's president. Like, are they so sequestered they don't even know like what's going on in the real world? They have a population as of today, of about 1,750 people. But in 1990, so close to when this show actually happened, it was actually closer to 2,700 people. So 1,000 people have done enough meth or had their still explode in the last 27 years that the population is really dwindling in this town. So master race and all.
We're down 1,000?
Down 1,000 when you only had 2,700 to start.
Okay, that's almost half, but go ahead. But it is half, pretty much.
Check out the big brain on Brad. You don't get that reference, do you?
I sure don't. Keep going.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction.
Sorry.
We're not as just chronically, pathologically white as other towns that we go to. But it is 91% white. So, white is right, I guess. Okay. 7%
African-American here. Somebody's going to shit on that. Keep going.
Just know that if you're going to take the time to email Mike or tweet Mike or DM Mike or whatever you're going to do, I will lose zero winks of sleep into the near and far future over your complaints. The median income. So I don't care if you're black, white, whatever. You're poor because your median income for an individual is $17,270.
That's nice.
And the family's pulling in $29,000. How would your life change if all of a sudden somebody came to you and said, in 2018, the Mills family now has to figure out how to live on $29,000?
I mean, in this area, that's like physically, it's impossible. You can't make the math work just due to your mortgage and your normal living expense. I mean, we're not even talking about buying anything. We're not even talking about, you know, just disposable income. You would have no, you would be in the negative. There would be no disposable income.
I would be in super duper trouble before summertime. And I mean in trouble.
Yeah.
Selling one of my healthy white children on the black market kind of trouble.
Oh, God, okay.
So that constitutes, or that leads us to a 32.4% percentage of the population that is below the poverty line. Because you don't get to numbers like 29,000 without a bunch of motherfuckers being below the poverty line. So, it doesn't matter if you're white. You're black. If you're below the poverty line, you're just not eating good meals and access to health care and just – you're not living good, right?
Yeah.
Let's don't see color here. Let's just see, you know, people trying to get by. That's what I want to – for your Christmas message, you know? Okay, we're all in this together, pal.
Somewhat true.
So there is a famous person that is from Harlan, Kentucky, and he's apparently one of the 1,000 that – got out. Do you know who Nick Lachey is?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know much about his music, but I know that he got to hop on top of Jessica Simpson and her two big cans for a few years while he married her.
I'm not but a then, can man. I'm much. I like the booty more than the boobies. But that's just me.
But even a man from Harlan, Kentucky, realized that she was too dumb to be around 24/7, and I think he had to move on. So
that bitch was dumb, bro.
So here's the thing. Let me just point this out. Dude, so all you people out there that get your Christmas panties in a wad, Jessica Simpson was from where I'm from, and she's a dumb piece of shit. And Nick Lachey, while he makes bad music, seemed like an average intelligent guy from Harlan, Kentucky. So it's possible. It's not likely that scenario exists, but it's possible. So everybody calm down. You know, listen to our podcast. Go get your Christmas drink on. And try not to choke on your own vomit of eggnog tonight.
There we go. All right. Let's get
started. Let's go to the ring, pal.
Yeah. So we get let me say this. As we get started into this episode, I think we're officially entering into a new and a change period within the promotion. Maybe a new era, so to say. Maybe just a new, and I don't say new beginning, but it's a period of change. I mean, Stan Lane's gone.
Garvin's gone.
Garvin's been gone, but you've just
the
got
stud
a
stable's gone.
Right. But you've got a situation
except they're on this show.
Right. Well, my point is, you got feuds that are changing too. Like the Rock and Roll have definitely moved on from the Heavenly Bodies, and remember, now you're going to see some things going on with the Armstrongs as well. So there's definitely some change here, some change in the wind. Cornette's bringing in a new tag team. Different things are happening here. You still got Dutch and Bob Cottle on commentary, but there are some changes coming, and that's where I'm going with this. So let's get started. Dutch and Bob Cottle kick us off. Dutch's signs say, "Welcome to Planet Dutch." We also find out that Scott and Steve Armstrong will make their Smoky Mountain Wrestling debut. So there you go, one change. The Rock and Roll Express are on Down and Dirty, which, trust me, will be very eventful in my eyes. Jimmy Golden is still not gone. He's facing primetime Brian Lee for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Beat the Champ TV title this episode. Doc, anything from the opening there that caught your attention?
I wonder if Jimmy Golden's like, I need to get a few minutes in here because I got to go be Bunkhouse Buck over in Atlanta, and I need to get my cardio up.
I would think that might have been the case, but who knows. So we roll from that to the first match. It's Robbie Eagle versus Tracy Smothers, and I will tell you, I've got nothing much on this match other than it was face versus face, and Tracy wins, which back then, it was really hard to have a face versus face match. I mean, you see it a lot more now, but that was back then, it just was weird when you saw it. So I don't have anything from that. Did you, Doc?
Just a little bit. You would think in a town like Harlan, Kentucky, Tracy Smothers could run for mayor after the match, huh?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. The one thing I will say is that when Smothers got in the ring, I noticed that gym was bigger than I had expected. Because I did the demographics first. And so I'm thinking about a town that's, you know, like either 2,000 or 2,500 people. That gym's a lot bigger than, you know, Kentucky has – basketball is a big deal in Kentucky. So I'm just wondering if that plays into this thing. I don't know. We're just trying to learn about people that aren't like us, you know.
I don't know, but I think Jeff Bob, one of our longtime listeners, messaged me about this, and I think he said that school's not even there anymore.
Isn't that two listeners?
Or it's abandoned.
Jeff Bob, isn't that two guys?
That's his name, Jeff Bob.
Oh, it's one name. I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway.
And then I do like, and this is something that I think Cottle and Dutch do in this episode out of necessity and a little bit in the next episode, and I think it's something that you alluded to, is their commentating style is a little bit closer back to it was in the early days here than it's been when they're just talking about the angles in front of them. It's like they're trying to help the talent get, you know, the new things get established. Because I like how Dutch was kept saying that Eagle was, you know, he's not there yet, but he's close to getting good. And maybe, you know, if he could just win one, he'll get on a roll and he'll be in the hunt. So
it's at the beginning of a taping, too. So maybe that affects their style where they're not completely exhausted.
Right.
Because that's all we, you know, Jim has said that to us. All right. So we go from that to Tracy Smothers, and we've got a promo. So, well, first, they replay what happened with the Coward Waves the Flag match, and then they go to Smothers to a Smothers promo. So this is after Eagle and Smothers. We see the Coward Waves the Flag match again, or the end of it, and then here's Smothers on his promo.
And right here, our former Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion, Tracy Smothers. Tracy, I know you're disappointed in that match with the Dirty White Boy and the fact that the title has been held up.
That's exactly right. But you know something, Bob? That young man I just had the match with right there, Robbie Eagle, he was a great amateur wrestler, and I'll guarantee you he's going to be a good professional because he gave me a doggone tough, sure tough test right there. But you know, the belt has been held up, and gosh, I look around and people say, is there problems between me and White Lightning Tim Horner? Yeah. But you know, I mean, the fact of the matter is this, that Tim, he had his head, if any, you all saw what happened during the match right there. Don Wright come over, run his head into the ring post, and then popped him with that stick. All Tim was doing, all he was doing was returning the favor and hitting him with a stick. And the guy happened to see, he happened to see Tim hitting waving him with that stick, waving a flag. So now the belt's held up. It's a bunch of nonsense, but there's only one way to settle all this.
In the ring.
Me and the dirty white boy, and we're going to get down June 11th right there in Knoxville, Tennessee. Right. We're going to see who's Tim a better
Horner.
Man.
Talking about Tim Horner, was that bad judgment? I was going to ask you if that was bad judgment on Tim's part.
Excuse me just a minute. You know, Tracy, do you have a problem? I just want to know for myself, is there a problem between you and I?
Well, no.
No, Tim, not at all. I consider you one of my best friends.
Well,
there's a lot of people trying to stir up some stuff between you and I. You know, I've sat in your corner and I've watched your back from now on, from the day one that you started having the problems here. And I'm going to be in your corner from now on. So if you don't have a problem with me, I ain't got one with you, brother. Hey,
there's no problem here, Tim. I love you like a brother, man. Now, dirty white boy, I'm looking right at you, man. June 11th, Knoxville, Tennessee. Me and you head up for the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Championship, which I should have never lost. Let me tell you this, big man. I'm American by birth, and I'm Southern by the grace of God and by the support of the fans and just a little bit of lady luck. I'm going to be the next Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion. So you be all the man you can be. I know you're not going to back down. I've had some of the toughest battles I've ever had in my life. That's with a dirty white boy. Hey, white boy, I ain't going east. I'm not going west. I'm coming north and south. June 11th, mark it on your calendar, Friday night. Smoky Mountain heavyweight title is coming this way. I'm American by birth, Southern by the grace of God. The South shall rise again right there in Knoxville, Tennessee.
All right, fans, we'll be back. We'll have more.
All right, Doc, what'd you think?
Tracy Smothers is a better man than me, because if a guy like Tim Horner cost me the heavyweight strap, I wouldn't just be out there all shucks in it and I still love you, pal, an honest mistake. You know, what they're playing off here is some NFL stuff. What always happens in the skirmishes in the NFL? It's not the guy who throws the first punch. It's the guy who retaliates that gets the penalty. So that's what happened there, right? Man, did you see Horner pat Tracy Smothers on the tummy there?
Yeah.
I'd be like, don't touch me there, pal. No man's going to touch me there unless we're in the middle of a wrestling match. Just this needs to be the Tim Horner heel turn.
I don't remember if we asked Jim about Horner and becoming a heel at any point in time. But I feel like he would have been he's
an equally crappy heel.
No. I mean, he feels hateable. So, but then we're looking at it too through 2017 eyes as well. I don't know, man. Let me tell you this. I'm at a loss for words for Horner. I really am, because it's just like I think Tim is obviously a good person in life, and I kind of feel bad about. I think so. I don't think he's. Like,
is he?
I don't think he's. I mean, he's not like he hadn't killed anyone. He like. You know, I mean, I know, and we know. Look, it's not gonna. I'm not gonna reiterate everything that we've learned about Horner from Corny. You know, I mean, I've talked to. Let me say this: I've talked to enough people who, besides Jim, who, like, don't think Tim is the worst person on the planet, and they got along with him fine. And, but at the same time, there was bad blood between Corny and Horner. And we know that now. I mean, we've had the discussion with Jim about this. We had for probably 40 minutes of the hour and 20 that Corny was on with us, it was about bashing Horner. So I don't want to reiterate all that. If you haven't listened to it, go on our YouTube channel or, you know, look in the previous episodes we have with Cornette on the flagship show. My point is, so I'm not going to beat up Horner anymore. We've already beat him up. It just, I don't know what else to say at this point. I mean, it's just like, oh shit! I don't know what else is. It's just like, what are we talking about here? So,
do you want me to do as the viewer? You know.
Yeah, and then the other thing is like, if you make him a heel, I don't know. They're in the Smoky Mountains. Are the people really gonna hate him? These people might not hate him. They're probably still gonna like him.
I don't know. Look what happened. See, here's the funny. Would have been the funny thing, is it. Instead of Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright turning Yankee, what if Horner turns Yankee and turns on Sawyer Brown and shit?
I think there's a way to do it, but my biggest problem with Horner is, and I've never seen this, so someone out there, if you're listening, please let me know, because I'm curious. Was Horner ever a heel anywhere? I don't know that question. I mean, I don't have enough knowledge.
I'm going to tell you he's one right here, but that's my own.
Well, yeah. In reverse booking, he's a heel. But my point is, like, if he ever really truly played a heel, like, could he cut the promos that Dirty White Boy or Ron Wright could? I don't know if that's possible, because maybe unintentionally he cuts them, but if he's truly trying to be a heel, how much better are his promo? I don't know, bro. I just want to move on. I will say this, though, about this.
Well, hey, you ain't got to get hot. It's Christmas, man.
I know, man. You're right. A longtime listener, CM Cepeda on Twitter, is definitely right. The catchphrase is, Smothers is leaning into him too much.
Here's the one thing I noticed. I thought Smothers was on it at the beginning, and then it was like, holy crap, I'm about to be done, and I haven't gotten my catchphrases in. And then he just started rolling them out in succession.
Piling them on.
I think he would have had a hell of an awesome, strong promo if he'd have just cut it off about 30 to 45 seconds earlier.
Yeah. No. I think I agree there. Okay, so let's keep going. We got a local promo from Corny. I'm going to skip it because maybe we'll cover it at the end. It's nothing.
Now, hold on. Where the hell are they cutting these local promos at?
That one appeared to be cut like
in a studio, but like with editing equipment.
Yeah, it's like in the editing room or something. Because I mean, you can see from the background, but whatever. It's Southern Wrestling.
My thing is, there's two no smoking signs up in the background. I was like, how much smoking had to go on for you have to put up two?
It's 93, bro, so probably a lot. I mean, back then, smoking wasn't banned from planet Earth.
Puff, puff, give, pal.
Yeah. So, but we'll I think I'll play it at the end.
That sounds good.
The same promo goes twice. So let's go to the next match.
Yeah.
It's Mike Sampson and Nature Boy Paul Lee versus Scott and Steve Armstrong. Armstrong brothers finish off Lee with a drop kick off the top rope while Steve held up Lee. Nice finish. They get the win. I mean, you'd expect that. Their first kind of debut as a tag team here in Smoky Mountain. What were your thoughts on this, Doc, on this match?
My one thought here, and this is, you know, one of the things that the Andersons do really well, Ole and Arn, was the just keeping them in the corner, working them over, in and out of the ring, frequent tags, and that's a good thing. I was watching this, and the Armstrongs were tagging before, like, the other guy got through the ropes and out to the apron. They were getting tagged back in. It was rapid fire tagging in and out. Just my only notice. They're getting them strong, getting them ready for Corny and probably the Heavenly Bodies, I would assume.
So they go from that to yes, I was on mute, Doc.
God damn, what were you doing? Getting a blowjob from your dog?
I was taking a sip of drink. So they go from Scott and Steve, their match and their victory, to now a promo, and it's Bullet Bob along with Scott and Steve. Now Bullet Bob is not on location. He is in his backyard with a wooden fence behind him.
Okay, so before you play it, my first note here was, man, somebody should have sanded or treated that fence, man. It's in bad shape.
Fence looks like most fences you'll see, but whatever. It's old. But let's play Bullet Bob, and then we got some words from Scott and Steve as well. Here it is.
Strong brothers.
All right. Dutch, right you are. We've got Scott and Steve here at ringside. We're going to talk to them in just a moment. First, Scott, Steve, let's go back. Let's hear this from Bully Bob Armstrong, and then we'll be right back to talk to these two.
The wrist is better. I've got motion in it. And all I want to do is be able to make one fist, and that's for your nose. I still have to wear the support for my ribs because it still hurts to take a deep breath. But when I take that deep breath, I do think about you. Now, you're just getting a taste of Armstrong retribution. Pretty soon, the Army's going to be in full, and we're good at fighting in the trenches. And, mister, you're going to pay the price. Like I said earlier, you're going to pay the ultimate price, because I will not rest. I will not take a breath without thinking about you, Jimmy Cornette, you low-butted, low-slung, psycho-Scandinavian snake feces. I'm going to get you if it's the last thing I do, brother. I'll be there soon, sooner than you think. Like I said before, I'm healing every day. I'm in this sunshine. I'm outside. And I just can't wait to start training again, because when I do, I'm going to be thinking of one man. James E. Cornette.
All right, and of course, you two guys here, and you can just look at your eyes, you can see the fire.
All right, do I need to pause it first? Would you like to address Bullet Bob before we go to Scott and Steve?
Just that I love the backyard promo. I always like Offsite. I say that every time. I like the fact that he's not yelling there. It's like he's getting his army together. He's got a plan. He's got revenge on his mind. You know, Bob Armstrong is the guy. He's like your grandpa that's super tough. You start to realize he's kind of hokey when you get older, but he's still too tough for you to like make fun of him or try him, because he'll still whip your ass. But you realize he's kind of hokey, but you're not exactly going to mention that to him.
Yeah, of course. Bullet Pops, you look at him right
grandpa,
there, man.
Grandpa, I'm 15, and I'll pull your finger, because I know if I don't, you'll whip my ass.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at him right there, and he's like, he looks like he's ready to whip somebody's ass, bro. You believe it, man. He ain't ripped to shreds, but he's got some thickness to him, bro.
He is built for an old man.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's built right there. I mean, big old barrel chest. Yeah, man. Okay. I thought he was effective there, man. I use the term very matter of fact a lot when it comes to Arn Anderson, like in on the Saturday night shows. And I think, like, I'm not gonna sit there and say Bullet Bob is like Arn Anderson right there, but he's very matter of fact about what he's gonna do, and he's gonna take it out on Corny's ass. And oh yeah, good stuff. So we go from that, and it's just the same promo now as Scott and Steve right after their dad just cut his promo.
And the determination there, Scott.
Well, you got that right, Bob Kyle. I want to say one thing. You know, when we were young growing up, our father was a professional wrestler. It's what put the clothes on our back and the shoes on our feet and the food on our table all our life. And we're used to seeing him come home with a broken bone or some stitches, but it come from a man like maybe the Mongolian Stomper or a Terry Funk or a Harley Race. Well, I'll tell you something right now, brother. To have somebody like Jim 12 sandwich eating nothing happening fairy tale fat boy Cornette do what he did to our father, well, I'll tell you something right now, that's something that the man himself, the Bullet Bob Armstrong, will not be able to live with a humiliation like that. And I'll tell you one thing, the heavenly bodies, the new heavenly bodies, are just like a snake. You cut the head off and they wiggle out every which way and there's another one. But Tom Pritchard, you big and bad brother, and you done brought one of your relatives in. Well, I got 245 pounds of little brother. And I'll tell you right now, Cornette, we won't touch a hair on your head, boy. We gonna save it for the Bullet, and you will know he is bad to the bone. Yeah.
All right, fans, we're gonna be back. We'll have more. Don't go away. Let's take this time out.
All right, so Doc, what did you think there about Steve?
I thought that was a better promo than he
or Scott cut. Scott and Steve, I should say.
I thought that was a better promo than he cut the entire time he was Dixie. And I know it's different character, but I liked it. I wasn't as big a fan of the Dixie character as you guys were, but I liked this one a lot. I thought he did a really good job on this one.
Yeah, I thought he was good. My other note was, I feel like Scott and Steve are somewhat like Tracy in that they're a good fit for Smoky Mountain Wrestling. The look, like, just who they are, they're perfect for the territory. You know, that's Scott Armstrong's first promo with Scott Armstrong. I mean, we heard him as Dixie Dynamite, but my point is, they're similar in that they're great for this area. And I know, like, Tim Horner could be great for that area, but his promos are just not good enough for it for me. But I feel like Scott and Steve, they just remind me of what is a good fit for Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I felt like that right there as I watched them for the first time, and that's all I had. All right, after that we go to Down and Dirty with Dutch and the Rock and Roll Express. So let's listen to what's going on here with Dutch and the Rock and Roll.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantel, and you're not. Right, standing right here with me right now, and I'm glad to have you gentlemen out here, but you'll see around your waist, the Rock and Roll Express are the new Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champions. Now, Ricky, I've known you a long time. It was a tough battle that last Tangle in Tennessee. You beat a tough team. Your comments now, and where do you expect to go now that you are the champions once again?
Well, that's right, Dutch. But first of all, I got to say, we must be moving up in the world to be out here on Dutch World, is what I call it. But you got to say one thing. For the last 7 years, we've been trying to get rid of the Heavenly Bodies or the Midnight Express or whatever you want to call them. And you see, Jimmy Cornette, after all, the blood, the sweat, and the tears, Stan Lane is gone. And all I can say is, hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more no more. All right.
But wait a minute. Not so fast. Not so fast, Ricky Morton. Now, you are the new Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champions, but there is a new team on the horizon, and I hear a big, big team brought in by Jimmy Cornette, and he is keeping their identity under wraps. Now, I don't know who they are, and I don't think you know who they are, so how are you going to handle that problem, bud?
Well, Dutch, it's just like this right here. Robert and I have been down many, many highways, and every road we took led us to the top because of all these nice fans out here. But one thing, Dutch, they can be 300 pounds. They can be known all over the world. But you see, there's nothing in this world we can do about Jimmy Cornette bringing them in to jump on us. But you see, there's a lot we can do to get them off, baby. All right?
I understand that, but they're a big, big team. Now, how many years did it take you to get rid of Stan Lane or get Jimmy Cornette's team? How long did it take?
Well, that's right, Dutch. It took 7 years. But you see, they always had that Jimmy Cornette behind them. This time, the mystery team's coming in. He's just introducing them.
Wait a minute. We're joined here down and dirty with Dutch by Miss Tammy Fitch, a lady who has taken a sexual discrimination lawsuit against Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Now, I'm sure you may have something to say. Your name is Fitch, right? Her name is Fitch with an L. Do you have something to say to me or the Rock and Roll Express?
Well, yes, I do. Since you two have now won the tag team championships, what you need is someone to manage you with a good business mind, because obviously you guys don't know much about business. I mean, look at you. Rock and roll is out, rap is in. I mean, this is tacky. I mean, you've had some success with it so far, but so we'll leave it for now. We'll come back to it later. Just sign a contract with me, and with my brains, my knowledge, and my business mind, I'll take you all the way to the top.
Well, the ball's in your... Well, guys, it ain't none of my business, but, you know, Miss Fitch's idol is Hillary Clinton, and Hillary Clinton took a nobody all the way to the White House. I think she might do a lot of good for you guys. What do you say, Rick?
Well, Dutch, you know what? I think I would love to. But there's just one problem. We're not worthy, baby. We're not worthy. I'm sorry, Your Highness. Hey, Bill Clinton's got more problems than any of us ever have. All
right. Hey, what about... Oh, don't worry about them. They're a bunch of smart addicts anyway. What do you got to say to that?
Just shut up.
Shut up? I think my first wife told me that. Well, there you heard it, fans. Tammy Fitch turned down right here on Down and Dirty. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
Okay, Doc. A lot going on there. It culminated at the very end, though, with the whole Bill Clinton thing. But what were your thoughts on that?
Well, at the very part, the first part, when we're talking about the wrestling, I liked when Morton said, you know, that was the end of 7 years of the Midnights and Heavenly Bodies, so it's always tying it back to, you know, we don't like each other, and it didn't just contain within the universe of Smoky Mountain. This thing runs deep.
Yeah, I mean, and they said that at the very beginning of it when they were first, you know, going down the route of this whole feud that it's been going on. I mean, a version of this has been going on for a long time. I mean, obviously the Heavenly Bodies are not the Midnight Express, but you get the point there. So, you know, they're champs again, rock and roll that is. And I like when Dutch asked Ricky how long it took them to get rid of Lane, because it did take a long time. If you go back to WCW and now Smoky Mountain, mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't an overnight thing, so that was real. I love when Tammy comes out though and offers rock and roll her services, and and then Ricky Morton's line, Bill Clinton has more problems than any of us will ever have, and Tammy wasn't too happy about that. And if you remember the whole thing, the reason he brings up Clinton is because Tammy said that Hillary was her idol, and that's that. So I love the political reference there. There you go.
How come they can do it?
Right.
So, and the people don't get mad.
Right.
So it's when you agree with something, you, okay, I get it.
It's that old thing, you know, when something's convenient for you, it all of a sudden is acceptable. But when it's not convenient for you, it's unacceptable. And that's what drives me about human beings in general.
I thought when Sonny came out that those jokes just started to write themselves. I was like, man, the first thing I thought was in that time, in that area, just saying that rock and roll is out and rap is in could have been a big time heel move.
Nuclear heat.
Yeah. And then I was like, maybe Morton and Gibson should go by the, they should become the Hip Hop Express.
Didn't PM, never mind. I was about to say,
never mind.
PM news.
Don't encourage them. And then, Morton's Wayne's World reference was super dated and corny.
I didn't even catch it.
We're not worthy.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Whatever. Okay, are we ready to move on, Doc?
That, I didn't like that at all.
The reference or the whole promo?
The whole thing.
Oh, I didn't think it was terrible. I thought it was funny once they got Tammy in there.
Okay.
Once Tammy got in there, it was cool because I loved the whole making fun of Clinton has more problems than any of us will ever have.
You're gonna get a bunch of people going, he doesn't like it because they're making fun of Clinton. Man, I don't give two shits about.
I don't give a fuck, man. He got a dick suck and he fucked a broad.
Here's the thing.
I don't many fucking two... white politicians do that? Shit.
But here's the thing. I don't give two shits about any Clinton. Here's the thing. They don't keep me up at night either, just like these people. I don't like them. I don't like them.
We're getting off topic here.
We got to do something. This episode sucks.
I guess it does suck a little bit.
I'm gonna be the mid show turd in the punch bowl. Merry Christmas, but this episode blows.
It's not the greatest, that's for damn sure. Let's see if Ron Wright can help us pick things
up. Come on,
here,
Ron. Jeez.
All right, fans, with us right now, Dirty White Boy and his manager, the legendary Mr. Ron Wright, and we heard Tracy's mother. Tracy's mother is looking forward to, he's waiting on June 11th in Knoxville.
Let me tell you something, Tracy Smothers, he'll not make it to June 11th. There's only one, two things that I've had in my life, Bob. I had an insurance policy of $20,000 that was paid up here about 6 months ago. Had my automobile paid for, I totaled my automobile, trying to get to the matches in Johnson City. Now I've done went, cashed that $20,000 policy in. I'm a putting every dime of it up, and a kitty is a bounty. Any man here in Smoky Mountain Wrestling put Tracy Smothers out of wrestling, collects the money.
$20,000 bounty on Tracy's mother's put up by Ron Wright. Don't have a stroke on us right here, though, about that. And I know your heart must be giving you
a lot of money, yeah, Bobby.
Yes, sir, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, white boy, I tell you,
all I can say is I hope somebody collects that $20,000 before June the 11th. Because then it's real simple. I win by forfeit.
Wouldn't that be a nice way to get that nice, big, pretty gold belt?
It ain't gonna happen, I don't believe. Tracy Smothers is looking forward to meeting you June 11th. That's what the guy is living for.
That's perfectly fine. He can live for whatever he wants to. $20,000, baby, will make a man do a lot of things.
$20,000.
Are you a betting man?
Long way.
Are you a betting man?
I wouldn't bet on that. No,
well, I'm a betting man.
And Mr. Wright, you've got the money. You got it up, and it's up there for Tracy's mother's head.
Absolutely. I've got the money deposited in a safekeeping, and somebody's going to collect it before June 11th in Knoxville, Tennessee. You can rest assured of it.
All right, fans, you heard that. The bounty, $20,000 bounty on the head of Tracy's mother's by Ron Wright for his Dirty White Boy. Oh, boy, it's all going to come down at least by the 11th. It may happen even before then. Right now, let's go to the ring.
He cashed out his $20,000 policy That seems like a waste of fucking money, but he said that's one of two things he's got in life, and he's going to spend it to take out Smothers. What the fuck?
It's awesome, because it's like, first of all, you know, we just had a conversation at the beginning of the show of what $29,000 would do for you next year. He's planning to live the rest of his life on $20,000.
It's so absurd.
Well, you know how people move? Like, have you ever heard about people that are like quit their big high power jobs and they're like, I saved up enough money, I move into Mexico or Costa Rica and I'll buy a bar and it's cheap, I can live down there forever. Maybe we have our own version of that in this country, and it's just Kentucky. Let's move to Kentucky and just be big ballers over there.
No, I don't.
Well,
I'm going to pass on that option.
I liked it when he called it the kitty. That makes it sound legit. Man, have you noticed that Ron is sicker when they don't have the belt? They need the strap so that Ron can get healthy again. He's coughing. Yeah. I'm feeling bad for Ron. He's cashing in life insurance policies, and he's coughing, and he's drooping.
He's getting all choked up at the thought of having to give up the $20,000 policy.
But here, let's talk about something at a higher level psychologically in wrestling. Bounties always work, and you know why?
Well, go ahead.
Why do you think bounties always work?
Well, everybody wants more money. Everybody wants a way to
Let me say it a different way. Everybody's greedy.
Everybody's
got a price. So everybody's sitting there going, man, I like Tracy, but I wonder if I'd hit him with the tire iron. How much would it take for me to hit him with the tire iron?
Yeah, I mean, dude, $20,000?
Right. So let's say that, you know, Tony Schiavone calls me and says, I'm tired of Conrad. Come do it. Come do the show with me. I'd be like, bye, Mike. You know, we're all greedy.
Hell yeah. I mean, $20,000, bro. Think about that. Let's do the math on that real quick. Like, hold on. I'm pulling it up.
You pull it up. So the thing of it is, that's why this works is, okay, he's not going to give anybody $20,000. But if he did, would I do something dirty for $20,000? And everybody's asking himself that question, which is what makes this a great plot device, if you will. A great tool, a great angle, a great gimmick.
So, I agree.
37.5.
You're close. $20,000 in May of 1993 is equivalent to $34,211.23.
I can't tell you the unspeakable torture I would do to you for $34,000.
Likewise.
I mean, you'd be hanging on, just begging me to kill you and put you out of your misery. And I'd be like, no. Mr. Ron said I had to torture you first, pal.
So, yes, 30. So, again, 20,000 in May of 93 is equivalent to $34,211.23 today. That's a lot of fucking cash, bro.
Get me to that pay window, pal.
That's a lot of cash. So I just got a text from Harper. I think he might be joining us.
Oh man, he's a two pump chump.
Yeah. He got his shit in.
He's done.
Like Bernie Mac said, Kings of Comedy. Shit, I got mine. You better get yours. If you ain't got mine by the time you ain't got yours by the time I got mine, you fresh out of fucking luck. Okay, let me see. As soon as he texted me back and says, "Yeah, I'll conference him in."
Well, so let's keep going then, pal. We can't wait for those who aren't here. We got to go with those who are here.
So Ron Wright cuts another gem. He's choked up at the thought of having to give up, the $20,000. But whatever. Here's the thing. This one, according to the date, it's going to have a quick payoff because it's May 29th of 93. He says the bounty is on Smothers up until June the 11th. So, I mean, we're only 12 days away, 13 days away at this point.
He's here for a reason and not for a season.
Right. So let's keep going. We got Gary Scott versus Tim Horner. I didn't mention it earlier, but Dutch was blaming Horner earlier when Tracy had his match, saying that Horner purposely cost Tracy the Coward Waves the Flag match. He's repeating it again during this match with where Horner is wrestling Gary Scott. Dutch also claims during that match, that Tammy Fitch likes him and that she had lust in her eyes. Dutch also says, "I hate to be treated like a sex object." Mm. And then Horner wins with his natural bridge, and that's that. Doc, thoughts?
We haven't seen Gary Scott since the episodes in the 20s.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been been a while.
Welcome back. And he showed up with that damn bolt in his hand for the match.
Talking about Horner, that is.
Yeah, I was like, Horner threw that bolt into the crowd, and I was like, he's the kind of guy who would go in after the match up to the little kid and ask for it back because he doesn't want to have to buy another one. Hey, little buddy. Hey, little buddy. I only have one of those. Can I have it back?
Nah, he's got a fucking garage full of those bitches because they're not selling. If you remember the stories.
But Mr. Tim, you gave this to me. I know, little buddy. Too bad. It's part of the show.
Too bad. Okay. Anything else from that match?
Not really.
All right. So after that, they roll into a promo, and it's Chris Candido. Let's hear what Chris Candido's got to say.
This is the suicide blonde Chris Candido, the real world heavyweight champion, and I'm about to embark on a world tour in defense of this, the most prestigious championship belt in professional wrestling, the WWA heavyweight title. And in fact, this world tour is so important that the WWA has went ahead and made me a brand new, even more beautiful, even more expensive championship belt. And I'm ready to come into Smoky Mountain Wrestling and defend this title. And I don't know what the problem is. I haven't gotten a word from anybody yet. All I know is I'm going to be at Smoky Mountain Wrestling next week, and some stupid hillbilly is going to get the chance of a lifetime. He's going to get the chance to take on the real heavyweight champion of the world.
Doc, I'll go first. The absurdity of Candido saying that the belt he's holding is beautiful is great because the belt looks like shit. But whatever.
I didn't think it was that bad.
It's a shitty belt, but whatever. I didn't think this was great, but one of the charms of Smoky Mountain in my eyes is seeing so many people before say their ECW, WWF, WCW days. And I thought this was short. I mean, it was less than a minute, but I thought Candido did a good job. Again, the absurdity of him saying the belt is beautiful to me was the great thing.
Well, my exact note here was I can't decide if I love or hate that belt that he has.
Yeah, I love it because it's so fucking stupid looking and ridiculous.
Right.
But I know where you're coming from when you say you can't decide because it's absurd that he says that thing's beautiful.
Right.
Because it literally looks like aluminum foil. Well, not aluminum foil, but it looks like fucking just plates of metal attached to a shitty strap. And the plates are very, very ugly at that. So, all right. And anything else, Doc?
Well, I just wonder, and I'm going to put allegedly on this so that we don't get in any hot water here, but I wonder how many guys his advanced scout Tammy has scouted, if you will, before he gets to the promotion.
I'm not saying nothing bad there. She's following us on Twitter now. She's a good girl.
She's a nice girl. Hey, let me tell you something. I am a big defender of Tammy Fitch. I'm a big fan, always have been. And I think she's owned up to a lot of her past. So what I'm saying is...
She put it in her book. I mean, it's not like she ran away from it.
I don't have inside sources here. I'm going from the book.
Yeah. Shit.
Okay. I love her a lot.
Yeah, me too. All right, so next match up...
I'd like to love her. She's following us. Do you know how I can get a hold of her?
Figure out Twitter.
I could get to meet her and then be in her next movie.
Hey, hold on. Harper said call him, so hold on. All right, well, we got Harper on the line, man. How'd it go this morning? Hi. I told the crew that you had a side piece you needed to bang this morning, and it sounds like you knocked it out. Sounds like you got yours, and you're ready to roll and do some Smoky Mountain now.
Yeah, I was actually watching the $25,000 pyramid on the Game Show Network.
God bullshit.
Damn. Bullshit. No, bro. I was going through the channels. It's some old ones with Dick Clark. They had the chick from Love Boat and the kid that was and Alice with fucking Mel. I was like, geez, how fucking old is this shit?
How bottom of the barrel is it, too?
Yeah.
Hey, Harper, you need to tell everybody Merry Christmas. This is going to come out on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
How are you celebrating your Christmas, Harper? What are you doing?
Oh, God. Hopefully nothing.
Yeah.
That sounds that's a great plan.
What a blessing.
Wow. I know, huh? Fuck. Leave me alone.
Well, what about your girlfriend, man? You going over there or what?
Probably. Fuck.
Oh, damn. God bless you. Dealing
with all this shit.
I hear that. All right, let's get back to
this. You're trying to get her kids to bed so you can get some, right?
Yeah, you see? Doc's got it.
Well, I mean, well, he's married with two kids. He knows how it goes. You little motherfuckers go to sleep? Jesus Christ, man. Just go to sleep so I can get my 5 minutes in. God damn it. Fuck. Little motherfuckers taking no-dos and shit, bro. Not even.
I'm trying to. I want to bruise your mom's insides. Go to sleep.
Wow.
Go to sleep, you fucking shitheads. I'm trying to fucking bust some guts out here, you stupid sons of bitches. It's true. If you want to hear more about busting guts out and what we do on the patron side, go to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. We have plenty of discussions about busting guts out and the Buddy Landell episode. And, man, we just had a lot of fun stuff. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. The world-class episodes are hot and heavy, and we're on a roll with that, Doc, with November of 82 and December of 82. So really, really good stuff there, and we're having some fun.
Hey, will you stop begging at Christmas time, and let's get back to the ring?
Well, I want people to, you know, consider be blessed and giving us a blessing. That's all.
Yeah.
During this time of need, where Jesus is the reason for the season, Doc.
Stop your war on Christmas.
Keep Christ in Christmas.
Yeah, around here we say... Around here, we say Merry Christmas, pal.
Oh, my God. Merry motherfucking Christmas it is. All right, let's get to the next match.
And somebody's going to get all butthurt about that, and it's true. I have always said Merry Christmas to people, and I've never had anyone ever say,
Happy Holidays.
But I've ever said Merry Christmas to, there's no war on Christmas. Everybody goes, oh, Merry Christmas. You too, buddy. That's how it goes, man. Don't make up a war that's not there. The war's on black people.
What? I don't know what you just said, but whatever. Jimmy Golden versus Primetime Brian Lee. Early on in the match, Dutch and Bob are going back and forth about what the WWA stands for, that Candido is the champ of. If you're wondering why we haven't seen Sullivan in a while, also Cottle does tell us that he's touring the Far East right now. This is not a very long match with much that happens of note, but Golden loses by DQ, and Mark Curtis catches him trying to throw a punch with a chain, so Primetime Brian Lee retains the Beat the Champ TV title. Harper, I'll throw it to you first since you're just joining us. What'd you think?
Is this the last time we see Jimmy Golden? I know.
We
keep saying it, and then he's back.
Right.
This motherfucker's like a round of syphilis that you think penicillin knocked out, and it just keeps coming back, and you got the green drip, and you can't get rid of it. You have another round of antibiotics.
Bruh, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't even want to speak on it anymore because I could swear when I watched this the first go around that he was gone a while back. And I swear every time I bring it up, he's like keeps coming back. And it's not that I want him to go away. It's just that I'm like not really remembering. So, I don't know. I really don't know, bro. So who knows? Who knows where we're at with that right now? I'm not really quite sure, Harper. But good question. Doc, what were your – anything else, Harper?
And where was this WWA at, this promotion? It was in Canada?
New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Was that Dennis Coraluzzo's, Doc? I don't remember.
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember. We'll have to look it up. Somebody out there will tell us. All right. So we go from that
Hold on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I can't decide if I'm going to miss Golden Moore or that robe.
Yeah.
I wish Bunkhouse Buck could have worn that robe in WCW. That would have been like a dog whistle to all the Grand Dragons out there. And when Golden, early on, he went back out into the crowd and was like getting away from the ring. Did you see how fat all the broads were? I was like, man, those weren't rats. Those are cows.
That's nice.
What?
I guarantee you there were some cow service that night.
Oh, yeah. I mean, dip them in flour.
That's what?
He got that from me.
No, that's an old one. You didn't come up with that. Now, Primetime, you know, did you notice that Primetime didn't look so big standing next to Golden, who's a big boy himself?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's two big old dudes, bro. I mean, what are you talking about? They're probably both in a good 6'6 range.
And then I got a BTT question here, a roundtable question. So Dutch pulled that chain from his pocket, but he was also sporting a fanny pack on the back. So what do we think was in Dutch's fanny pack?
Dip, for dip. Sure.
Dip.
Dip and more dip.
Just dip? Did probably. He just take it out of the can and pour it straight into the fanny pack so he could just reach in it?
I can see it's got two compartments. One compartment's got the dip, the other one's got the chewing tobacco. Just right. Pour it in there. He buys a commodity like the big
from Sam's.
Yeah, he gets the big one and he just dumps it in the fanny pack. You get one compartment for the dip, the other one for the chewing tobacco.
Okay.
Bro, that's a 100% shoot though, bro. Every wrestler back in the day always had a fucking can of dip and then fucking fanny pack. Always. Always.
How about you? You ever dip when you were in the business?
Nah, that shit wasn't for me, bro.
Yeah. I used to dip.
Did you really?
Yeah. I used to smoke. I used to do fucking every tobacco product.
At the same time.
Yeah.
What happened, Harper? Why'd you give it up?
Lung cancer and dying.
Okay, that makes sense, bro. Very intelligent. All right, let's keep going. We got the same local promo from earlier from Cornette. We'll decide in a minute if we'll play it. Let's get through the next.
That's a major flag for me is repeating promos. That's like going to see a band and they play the same song twice. Come on,
yes.
Now.
Well, it's a local promo though.
I don't care.
And you can tell it's the same one because. They got a clock in the background. It's
hold on that. Wait till next week for that. I got a promo on the clock too.
Okay.
They're in the same room. In the same room next week, so I got to have material for then.
All right.
What were you about to say, Harper?
It's like I'm being tested with that clock.
So there's your teaser for next week. The clock. Make sure you follow along.
The clock.
Yeah, right. Right. Two no smoking signs, too, Doc pointed out earlier.
Yes.
Go figure. Okay, let's go to the next promo then. So after Golden and Primetime Brian Lee, two things happen. One, there's a Rock and Roll Express fan club. I don't have no notes here. They play that. Fucking Ricky and Robert is just milking it. You know, let's make as much money as we can off of this shit for, 10, 15 years and whatever. So then we go to Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies. Let's hear what they got to say.
All right, fans, right here with us now, Jim Cornette, the Heavenly Bodies, the new Heavenly Body. I got to say, first of all, though, we've talked to the Armstrongs, and the Armstrongs are united.
That is scaring me to death. Yeah. Let me tell you something about Scott and Steve Armstrong. They're the same as their old man. They're a bunch of southern redneck morons. They have never seen the day that they could wrestle like the Heavenly Bodies, never seen a day that they could romance like the Heavenly Bodies, as witnessed by the fact that their girlfriends are calling us constantly. Tom will tell you more about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But I got something to say. First of all, the Rock and Roll Express, the mystery team, brother, it's almost on you. It's coming up this weekend. And, brother, they're 200 pounds bigger than you are. They're stronger than you are. And they're going to tear the Rock and Roll Express limb from limb and take those tag team titles and deliver them right here to me. And as for Bullet Bob, I'm sorry. As for Methuselah Armstrong, as for old man Armstrong sitting home with cracked ribs, cracked sternum, broken wrist, all kind of bruises, I understand that to make Bob Armstrong feel better, Scott and Steve were going to take him out and take him for a drive. But as soon as they got in the car for 15 minutes, they got lost. You know why? They realized they weren't looking at the road map. They were reading Bullet Bob's varicose veins. You're an old man, you're a has-been, and you're washed up, Bob Armstrong, and you ain't never coming back. Dr. Tom, what about these women constantly calling you night and day?
Jim, it wouldn't be so bad, but the fact of the matter is, you know how diligently we train. You know that we like to get up early and go to the gym, and if Scott and Steve Armstrong's girlfriends will stop calling us and stop trying to get dates with us, maybe we could get some more work accomplished. Well, let me just tell you this. You know, the Armstrongs are a very close family, Jim. I understand that Scott and his dad used to walk to school together. You know why?
Why?
Because they were in the same grade.
Hey, I got one more thing to say. Just tell me, Gigolo. Just enlighten me. What do the Armstrong family women get after we act like World War II and take away all the men?
Well, ladies, you get a jiggle, a wiggle, and the whole kit and caboodle.
Oh, just right there.
Okay, we're going to go. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.
Jimmy Del Rey is so fucking ridiculous, bro.
So here's the deal, BTT Army, especially the Docaholics, because really the Docaholics are the ones with the women. Go into your woman since it's Christmas time, and after all the presents and you get the kids to bed, tell her you got one more present and pull that line on her and see what happens.
You get the wiggle, a jiggle, and the whole kit and caboodle. Harper, did he make you question your manhood?
Yes. Never wanted to bang a piece of white trash ever. Until now.
What did you say last week? Something about he made you question your sexuality or something.
Yeah. I mean, look at those hips.
Dude, Del Rey, and I hate to speak poor of the dead, but this is a wrestling podcast, and that's what wrestlers do is die.
Everybody dies, you dumbass.
Del Rey looks like a guy who would like to sniff soiled panties.
Yeah. That looks like a straight up sleazeball, huh?
For real. And yeah. I say that as a compliment. It works with the character.
Bruh, he's so ridiculous. He's just ridiculous.
It is epic ridiculousness.
Yes. And talking about Bob's veins. Bob.
Yes. That was just following Bob's varicose veins. Oh man. I can't add anything else. The whole wiggle, jiggle, and whole kit and caboodle. Jimmy Del Rey is ridiculous, and it's going to continue.
Well, the one thing I will say is that if you remember back in the day when you had the turbo button on your video game controllers, Dr. Tom was fluffing his hair on turbo over there, pal.
Yeah.
Don't do the drinking game here. You will not live to see tomorrow's Christmas morning.
Did y'all wanna hear the local promo?
I don't care. They played it twice.
That
made me mad.
Here it is. It's pretty quick. Here it is.
Three team, and in a revenge match, it's the Heavenly Bodies, managed by Jim Cornette, taking on Scott and Steve, the Armstrong brothers.
You know, the people up there in Eastern Kentucky, they know a lot about family tradition because they're very family-oriented in Eastern Kentucky. As a matter of fact, I understand most of those people up there in Barberville, they like their family members so much they end up marrying them. Well, let me tell you this right now, Armstrong, Scott and Steve, what I got coming for you, you ain't gonna like. You ain't gonna think it's traditional at all. It's the new Heavenly Bodies, the Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey, and the Doctor of Desire Tom Pritchard. And right there in Barberville next Saturday night, they're going to take you apart piece by piece, just like I did to your old man. And then my mystery team, they're going to jump on the Rock and Roll Express and leave no meat on their bones. So it's going to be a great night for Jim Cornette in Barberville next Saturday night. And just remember, Armstrongs, like I said, you've got a choice. You've got a task in front of you. I beat your old man up, I put him in a hospital, they carried him out on a stretcher, and I spit in his face on the way out. Your job is to do something about it.
I mean, I thought it was effective based on what you're
really
trying to do.
I really like the line of, your job is to do something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the point is, again, local promo, you're trying to get him into the building.
So let me ask you this. Harper, do you know who the mystery tag team coming in is? Mike, is this? Do you think that this one lives up to the? You know, we have a long, rich tradition of mystery guests living up to their billing. Do you think this one does?
Not like the ones in the past.
I would agree. It's not terrible, but it's not.
No, it's effective, but it's not like
it's not Kevin Sullivan throwing fireballs or.
Oh, fucking not Arn Anderson showing up.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not Sullivan. It's not Arn. It's not Tracy when he came in. I mean, it's not.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just the name value, I guess. It's you, and see, here's the thing about that. It's hard to top when
what do you do?
Arn comes in. I mean, the only, you know, because that
you got to go get Rick.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to like, you know, go get even if it's not Rick, you'd have to get another, you know, member. You'd have to get Arn and Tully to tag right here to make, you know, it's not possible.
Well, and we said it at the beginning, we're transitioning our feuds, we're bringing in new people, we've got to get them established, we've got to get over the hump that Bobby Blaze is going to do to the promotion and recover from that.
Typically Bobby alone.
Oh, that's next week, though. Merry Christmas, Bobby. Love you, pal. So, yeah, I thought we'll get there in a couple of weeks with that. Yeah.
I need to remind everyone before the disability check. So this is the last episode from the channel. We've been watching this on YouTube. Hockey Mask Guy is the guy's name on YouTube. If you want to follow along starting next week, you're going to have to go to another channel. It's Down and Dirty, which I believe is run by BTT listener Ricky Wittenberg. So starting with episode 71, you have to go to his channel, which the first episode he has up is titled SMWTV 6/5/93. So just kind of a reminder out there, if you search SMW number 71 or SMW episode number 71, I don't know if that one will necessarily come up, although I did do a search and this one, the next one does pop up even when I did 71, but I think it depends on your browser and
let me tell you this, pal.
Fucking algorithms there are out there that affect that bullshit, because you can't do a search on Google anymore. If I do a search and you do a search, different shit comes up. Based on how much porn you're watching. Yeah, lots of different things can affect your searches. So anyway.
So mine, every search I have is just covered in
jizz.
Semen. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I just wanted to throw that reminder out there. And then let's do disability check. So, Doc, I told you at the beginning you would go first, so go ahead.
I hated this episode. I hated it.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, bitches. I hated it. You're going to have to go way, way, way back in the Smoky Mountain archives to find me giving a show this low of a score. Don't worry. I mean, it gets heated back up. So this is a dip. This is a minor obstacle, but man, this thing's getting a 6.3.
You know, it's funny you said that. I did 6.5. Oh. I mean, we texted about this. Doc. I mean, we were kind of on the same page even before we didn't talk about the rating. But yeah, I did 6.5. I love the end though with Jimmy Del Rey. But I agree. It just was a different one. It's a transition episode.
Yeah.
It's not. You know, Ron Wright cuts some gold here, and then you got Jimmy Del Rey. But on top of that, man, it's just they're moving away from a core that's been going on for a few months now, and they got to find. It's almost like they're getting new footing. Harper, what'd you give it?
I'll give it a 6.7 because you saw the same promos, and Dr. Tom did that same old joke about him and a kid going to school because they're in the same grade. I think we heard that once before somewhere else.
Cornette said that one. It's probably been 8 months maybe, but you're right. That
really?
It's been a long time. That was one. That was a Cornette one. Cornette said that one. It may have even been Dutch on commentary. I know it wasn't Dr. Tom that said it first, but it's been said before. Yeah, I agree. It's just been a while.
Yeah. This one was like it was a big snoozer.
Yeah, it was. It certainly was. Everyone, make sure you're using the Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. I know the holidays are over if you're listening to this on Christmas Eve or even on Christmas Day.
Hey. The holidays may be over, but the consumerism never ends. Get on that link, pal.
That's true. And if you got Amazon gift cards and all that good shit, or, you know, you want to buy some shit because the holidays are over and now you got to treat yourself, again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Please use it. Give it to the wives. Give it to the girlfriends. And let them purchase some stuff, and we'll get a little bit in return. Not much, but a little bit. We get some pennies here and there, so please use it. Then follow us on Twitter at BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper's at CJH Udat. And then lastly, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Click the Shop Now button. I'm working on getting... first, like the page and then click the Shop Now button. It'll take you to the Pro Wrestling Tee store. I'm working on getting a Doc T-shirt and a Harper T-shirt up there so I can pay them for their services. So,
thank God.
I'd love to be able to pay them, and doing so will be putting their shirts up. So hopefully we'll have those designed soon. I don't know if they're there at this time of recording, but we are working on it, so be patient. It will be there. Again, it's the Pro Wrestling Tees store. If you just go to our Facebook page, click Shop Now, you'll get there. Or if you look at the show description in the notes from the show below, whatever device you're looking on, the links are there to the Tee Public store and the Pro Wrestling Tees store. That way you can get it from there. All right, let's do some government cheese. Longtime listener, Shar Johnson is the one who came up with this. What do you have? Who are you giving your government cheese to, Doc? Let me predict. Man, it's either going to be Ron Wright or Jimmy Del Rey.
Neither. Bob Armstrong in the backyard.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about
that. Give me Bob Armstrong in the backyard with the completely whittled down picket fence.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. Harper, you weren't here the whole episode, but who did you have yours written
down? Oh, shit. Fuck. I don't know. Tracy gets it. Fuck it. Because he's a class act.
That must have been some bad pussy you got this morning, man, to give that to Tracy on this episode.
I don't know. I forgot what the fuck. See,
You want me to sing Harper my Christmas ditty about his earlier in the episode? Three lonely teeth, two big tits, and a little bitty single brain.
Yay!
Okay. Yeah. Well, Harper gave his Smothers. I am going with Ron Wright in his $20,000 that he. He gave up on his life insurance and cashed out his policy so that he can put a bounty on Tracy Smothers' head. Because I just think that is so ridiculous, it needs to be a government cheese award. Doc, who gets the Tim Horner Award?
Tim Horner.
Tim.
Yeah, me too.
Or Gary.
Tim Horner. Or who?
What's his name? Gary Scott? You give it to Gary Scott, too.
I don't know if I'd give it to him. I mean, it wasn't a great match, but it was what it was. Tim Horner's definitely getting mine. Harper's giving it to Gary Scott. Thank you, at Thin Man Within. That's who suggested the Tim Horner Award. I need a shout-out to Hall of Fame patrons before we get out of here. Al S., R.E. Miller 39, at Justin_Andretti, at JShiny21, at Natural Hacksaw, at Thin Man Within, Slider91US, Justin Rasmussen, at ShipDaddy32, at USC 49ers Dodgers, at Gerald Green III, at TOG94, at SC Pageant, at MartinHollow71, at Tim Oreci, Coleman822, at Godbold Unreal, at Unconvinced Ray. Thanks for being BTT Hall of Fame patrons. Again, the way to become a patron, tinyurl.com/BTTpatron. Lots of levels you can sign up at, but we have it open to everyone. I mean, you can do it as little as $2 a month. Get all of the patron episodes and win a chance to, or have the opportunity to come on and join me at the end of an episode for the flagship show we do every Thursday. Shout out to the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, Brian Malonis, Mike Crockett. Listen to them on Mondays and Thursdays on the NAI Network. Just search WPAM wherever you get your podcast from, and they're doing a lot more classic stuff these days and not just the current stuff. That said, Doc, you got anything else before we get out of here and go do episode 71?
Not a Christmas thing, man. I want to get out of here and go get my Christmas drinking on. Nothing like opening up presents with your kids in the on Christmas morning when you're hungover as all hell.
I hate Christmas Eve and then Christmas.
Yeah, like, no, huh?
What a Grinch.
Fuck.
Just what a terrible, miserable person you are.
I just hate, like, you know, like, I feel like I go to bed late every Christmas Eve. And then I wake up early because fucking kids want to open up presents because they're spoiled brats. And then no matter how well you do on a present for your wife, that bitch always has something to say.
Whoa,
about it.
Bitch.
I still don't know what I'm getting Jane. I said, what do you want?
It's Christmas Eve, Harper. You've run out of time.
She goes, don't get me anything. Yeah, right.
Don't get me anything is the equivalent of her saying, if you don't get me something, I'm going to fucking knock your head off with a sledgehammer, and then secondly, you ain't getting any poo nanny.
She's going to rubber cement going to put rubber cement that the honey hole closed.
Oh, yeah, bro. She'll plug that shit up and you'll be fucked.
Whoa.
Anyway, so Harper, anything
like,
else?
Harper's like, I wonder what stores are open on Christmas Eve.
Harper, anything else before we get out of here?
Uh-uh.
Hit the tagline, Harper, and take us home.
Fuck it, bitch.